Hey guys, good morning. My name is Snake Baker, and I am your host, and you're listening to Becoming More Than I Am Now. It's going to be amazing and wonderful, and all that. God has something burning in me this morning. But all I have to say is that this message goes out to a young lady, Nicole, who's in Team Challenge. Just want to give a shout out to her right now this morning. God bless you, Nicole, and welcome to the family. And I can't wait to see you here at the Tri-State Family Credit Center. It's amazing how you've been outside of my church for the past 3 Sundays. And if I would have known you were out there, I would have brought you in. And God bless you and be praying for you. And on top of that, ladies and gentlemen, next month at Goodwill Church, July 7th and the 8th, Matthew West and Danny Gokey are going to be in town. And yes, I will go to see Danny Gokey on the 8th. And I can't wait to be there. I'm going to be interviewing Danny Gokey myself right here on this podcast. When I meet him in person, hallelujah, I can't wait to meet him. And I'm going to be bringing my best friend, Noel, with me as well to the concert. Can't wait. And thank you, Dad, for buying tickets for me to bring my best friend, Noel, to go see Danny Gokey. If you live in New York, in the Orange County area, please get your tickets to go see Danny Gokey. And also, we are also working on the Orphan Walk as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. But I have done a lot of research here this past week on children using cell phones. And that is scary. And toddlers and older, like 9 to 10 years old, using cell phones to play video games. And that is pretty scary how the enemy is using the children to be addicted to cell phones. And also, everywhere I go, if I go out to the restaurant, somewhere with Darren, all he's doing is on a cell phone, checking his emails or texting somebody. And the devil is putting us, making us focus on technology. And he's having us focus on cell phones, computers, tablets, and whatever is in front of us. And it's making our children and making us dumber than smarter. That's what technology does, is make us dumb. Why? Because cell phones, smartphones are smarter than us. And it's making us dumb. And that's what the devil wants us to do. And that's what the devil's telling us. I created smartphones to be smarter than you because you're dumb as dirt. No, that's a lie. That is a lie. You are smarter than him. You're smarter than your smartphones. And here's what is firing up these kids' minds. Video games. Am I right, Adam? Video games is the most wicked thing that is brainwashing our children. We need the Bible more than video games. TV, televisions, that involves shooting. What do you think there's school shootings? It's because the state removed the Bible from our schools, and the kids are not getting the resources that they need. Even video games is the most topic right here in the sermon right now this morning. And here's another thing that really gets me. It's these movies that you parents are allowing your children to watch. I want to read a passage from Paul and what he says about sexual immoralities. And that's what these kids are getting it from, these movies, sexual immoralities. And they're learning about it in these movies. I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 7 this morning. And I'm reading out of the New King James. If you have one, please follow along. And I would wait upon you when you get there. I'll start reading. I'm going to start at verse 1 and I'm going to read the whole chapter. It says, "Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." And you heard me say this on the last episode. It says, "Nevertheless, because of sexual immoralities, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but wife does. Do not deprive one another except the consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." And gentlemen, we do have lack of self-control. And we see a woman, we want to have sex with her. We want to sleep with her. We want to touch her inappropriately. That's what Paul is saying right here, that we touch a woman inappropriately. We touch her private parts, we touch her breast. We do this, we do that. That's what Solomon did. Solomon did the same exact thing. Why did Solomon do the same exact thing? It's because he had multiple wives. He turned away from God. He had sex with all of the women that he married and encountered. Because that's what Satan wants us to do, is have sex. And this relationships are not all about it. It's about finding out who you are in God and in His kingdom. You heard me on Blog Talk Radio, for those who listen to Blog Talk Radio, that I read from, if you read the book of Genesis chapter 2, how it says that God put a deep sleep upon Adam, and how he took his ribs and closed up that gap in his ribs, in his flesh, and made a woman out of it. And Adam said, "This is my bone, this bone for my bones, flesh for my flesh, and I call it woman." How amazing is that, that a woman is a reflection of us? Let's put it this way. Every morning, you look into the mirror. You don't see yourself. You don't. You see God. Why? Why do you see God in the mirror every morning? Because you are a reflection of Him. You are. You see God every morning in that mirror. And when you see God in that mirror, you thank Him and you praise Him and say, "I love you, Daddy." That's what you do every morning when you look into that mirror. "I love you, Daddy." I'm going to go on, verse 6. It says, "But I say this, as a concession, not as a commandment. For I wish that all men were even as I myself. But each one has his own gifts from God, and one in this manner, and the other in that. But I say to the unmarried, and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I. Now that Paul is single, what is Paul saying here? You don't need a woman in your life to be happy, but having God and Jesus Christ in your life to be happy. You don't need a woman. You don't need a friend, but God. He's your only friend that you need to focus on. He's the main priority in your life to move on with your life. Because when you feel lost or trapped or sad, he's there. He is. Now that I have a girlfriend in my life, yes, she's my best friend. She's there for me. But I don't go to her when I have a problem. I go to God when I have a problem. I cry out to Jesus when I'm sad. I cry out to Jesus when I'm in trouble. That's what you should do. Not a woman, but to God. Always cry out to Jesus when you're feeling depressed, lonely, disturbed, angry. Because when you're angry, sometimes you cry. Besides yelling. Crying is always better than yelling. I get it. I yell. That's my problem. I don't cry as much. I should cry out to Jesus more than taking my anger out on somebody else. And that's how I've seen relationships fall apart. Because when a man has anger in him, he takes it out on his best friend. I've done it. If you know Noelle Gigi, go to Kmart, because she's there, or the Humane Society tomorrow morning, and ask her how many times I've taken my anger out on her. Yes, I feel guilty for that. And I do feel guilty. And that guilt is going to be with you for the rest of your life, if you allow it to. Because the devil always puts that guilt on you. Oh, you screwed up in your relationship. Oh, you did this, you did that. Because he's putting that guilt on you. When Noel had talked to me for a month, almost 2 months, last year, I cried out to Jesus. I felt guilty. Why? Because I allowed Satan to tempt me, but I didn't allow him to tempt me for long. I did. You don't need somebody into your life to make you happy, to tell you what is right and wrong, but Jesus tells you what is right and wrong. He does. He's the only one that does. I'm going to go on, and I'm going to close at the end of chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. But if they cannot exercise self-control, that them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. And we do burn with passion. We do. We have passion in our lives, and we don't know how to control it. We don't. But we have to focus on how to control our passion and how not to let our passion tempt us to make wrong choices, like drug addiction. Passion tempts us to do drugs. Passion tempts us to drink alcohol. Passion tempts us to have sex, and we don't even realize it. Passion is Satan himself. But God is love, not passion. verse 10 says, "Now to the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband." I've seen this in my parents' marriage. Why? Because my mother was a sinner. And she's realizing that she's a sinner. Why is she a sinner? Because she departed from her husband. My father, she departed from him. And my father moved to Arizona. That's what the Bible says. Departing from your spouse is a sin. That's why I don't recommend anybody to be in relationships that quickly. If you get married at a young age, think twice about it. Think twice. Teenagers. Yes, teenagers. If you're thinking about getting married at a very young age, think twice about it. My mother was 19 when she got married to my father. My father was my age, 25, when he married my mother. Think twice, ladies. Twice about it. Am I making the right choice? Am I old enough to get married? Or am I too young to get married? God has an answer. And God is saying, you are too young to get married. Yes, late 20s, 30s, but not at your teenage years. Why? Because it's too soon to get married. It's too soon. Way too soon. When you get married at a young age, like 17, 18, 19, older you get, more your marriage falls apart. And I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in this church, myself. My two best friends, Jessica and Casey, they got married at a young age. And their marriage is falling apart. Falling apart. I've seen it happen. Not those two. But I've seen other people's marriage fall apart. Don't get married at a teenage years. Wait a while to marry your high school sweetheart. Verse 12 says this. Actually, verse 11. "But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife." Verse 12. "But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her." Paul is saying you can't be equally yoked with a non-believer. You can't marry a non-believer. You could be there for a non-believer, but it can't be equally yoked. You could lead a non-believer to Christ, but you can't date or marry that non-believer. I've been there myself. My ex-girlfriend, Amanda, she was a non-believer. And she pulled me down. And I see my relationship be torn apart. Verse 13 says right here. "And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him." Verse 14 says, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But now they are holy. Verse 15 says, but if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Verse 18 says, was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not be uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Circumcision is not of the flesh, but of the heart, and what your heart is. And that's what Paul is saying. And what matters is your flesh. It's your heart, not your flesh. That's what circumcision is. Because when you look at the book of Exodus, when Moses departed the children of Israel out of Egypt, they were circumcised, and God wrote the Ten Commandments on their hearts. And that's what he's doing with you right now. He's writing those Ten Commandments. And when you look at them, and you go, whoa, I broke those commandments. Oh, man. Believe me, I have broken those commandments. I have. Why? Because I have lusted against another woman in my church, in my ministry. And her name is Rachel. And I lusted with her. And that's my guilt right there. That's my guilt right there. And I do admit it. I do admit my guilt. Gentlemen, I recommend you to get my latest book called Say Yes to the Lord. And I have the pastor's notes. 5 things that you should do in a relationship when you mess up. It's number one, you should fess up to your mistakes. You have to man up, fess up, and say, honey, I'm sorry, I screwed up. That's the first step right there. The second step is that you have to confess and tell your spouse that what you have done wrong and why you have done that wrong thing. Number three, third step is that you have to be a man. You have to be a man. Because if you don't tell the truth, you're screwed. And your relationship or your marriage will fall apart if you don't man up and fess up to your mistakes. I'm not gonna go through the whole list of things, but I do recommend you to get the book, Say Yes to the Lord, because you have to man up, fess up, and confess of your sins, and man up, fess up to your mistakes. If you don't put on your big boy pants and fess up to your mistakes, to your spouse, bye. That's knowing you. That's knowing you. Because I don't want to be married to a liar. That's what you should do. Yes, when I make a mistake in my relationship, I always man up, and I always fess up, and I always tell the world what I have done wrong. That's what a man should do, is confess and fess up. If you're not man enough, you're not man enough to be in a relationship. Yes, I'm being harsh right now. And I don't care. It's just the truth. You have to man up. Be a man. And tell your spouse why you have made that mistake. You have to. You have to confess. That's what God is saying. Confess to me. Fess up to me. And tell me that you're sorry. Because I already have forgiven you. You don't have to apologize to me. Because I have forgiven you. I have forgiven you. I died on the cross for you. Because I love you. That's what Jesus is saying. I love you. And I care for you. And yes, you have to man up to me. And tell me what you have done. And I would figure it out how to help you. I'm going to close with this. I don't have time to read the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians, but I do recommend you to read it. Because it would help you along the way. Take notes. Keep a journal of things that you want the most and why. 7 things you want and why you want it. And why you want your relationship to be stronger than it is today. And it's important to do it. It is. It's important to do it. If you go on a date, gentlemen, I'm telling you this. If you have a cell phone, put it down or leave it home. Put it away. Put your cell phones away. You do not need it. You don't. Why? Because a woman wants your full attention. Not you texting. Not you playing video games on your phone. But your full attention. Put that cell phone away. And show her your love and tell her how much you love her. That's the most important thing. Knowing that Jesus has given you your best friend, you have to do what's best to make her happy. How can you make a woman happy? Is to be there for her and giving her your love and attention that she's looking for. Sharing the gospel. Every date you go on, bring the Bible with you. Not your phone, the Bible. Whoever calls you could wait. Because that phone call is not important. They could leave a message, but it's not important. But God's word, the scripture is important. You have to bring the Bible with you everywhere you go. It's just like a cell phone. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for those who are listening. Thank you for grace. Thank you for those who are in a relationship. It's amazing how you created us to be one with you. And how it's important to have a healthy relationship. And have a strong marriage. I thank you, Jesus, for those who are trying to get back on track and get back on their feet. I thank you for Tracy, Father. I thank you for a wonderful woman like her. beautiful young lady who is struggling in a relationship, being accused by the devil for the things that she hasn't done. Guide her, Lord Jesus. Guide Tracy. Show her the way to become a person that she wants to become and what her future's going to be like. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to lead you into a prayer. And this prayer is going to help your relationship get stronger. Repeat this prayer after me. Say this: Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Make me whole with you as you whole with your Father. Come into my relationship. Come into my marriage. Help me have a healthy relationship with my spouse, my girlfriend, my fiance. Help me overcome my fears of my relationship being destroyed. Help me become a man I want to become, to make my wife happy, my girlfriend happy, my fiance happy. Help me fulfill my dreams. Help me fulfill my goals. And it's in your name. Amen. You pray that prayer, you're born again Christian. You're going to see difference in your life. You're going to see your relationship stronger. You're going to see your relationship, your marriage stronger. And put Jesus first. And remember this: to keep strength, keep faith, love God. God bless you.